Well, thank you. It's a blessing being here with you. I wondered what I was going to do tonight. Kind of boring over there at the Clark household. You know how that goes. Actually, not boring at all. We just had like eight more people drop in on us. So my son, Jonathan, Janelle's brother, and his wife and children are with us too. So good to be here and good to be back in North Carolina. How am I going to transition now to something serious? I'm going to do my best. You know, I don't want you to raise your hand, but if you're saved here tonight, I would imagine that you know it. In fact, that's very important, is it? Is it not that if you're saved, you know you're saved? But you know, you can be saved and not be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I suggest that according to the scripture, that not only can you be sure that you're saved if you're a believer, but if you are a believer, you can be sure that you're filled with the Holy Spirit. I know that salvation is the work of God, so is the fullness of the Spirit. But there are still human conditions in order to be saved, right? I mean, you have to believe. You have to receive Jesus. It's not something that's done without you accepting. Just as there are conditions to know, to be saved and thus to know it, there are conditions to being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I just want to share as quickly as I can some things that the scripture says about the fullness of the Holy Spirit tonight, because I believe that if you are a believer, if you are a Christian, that this is the most important topic for the Christian life. Are you Spirit-filled? You're saved, but are you filled with the Holy Spirit? It's a command, I think. The scripture makes that clear. And so I quickly want to go through just some verses that give to us some indicators as to what is the fullness of the Holy Spirit? How can you be filled with the Holy Spirit? And the first scripture that I want to point to is in Acts chapter 2. And it's verses 37 and 38. It's when Peter was preaching on that day of Pentecost. And there is a response from the audience because of the conviction of the Holy Spirit in their heart. And they ask, what should we do? And Peter answers and says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, I know that that's talking about the initial indwelling of the Spirit. I understand that. But I think there's principles here as well. The promise is you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit on two conditions in that 38th verse. Number one, repent. Change your mind. Change your mind about who the Messiah is, of course, who Jesus is. Change your mind. Turn wholeheartedly to the Lord from everything else in just willful submission to Him. If I can just put that in different terms for us who are believers, to repent is to have a heart that is right with God, a heart that is clean before God. You can know that you have a clean heart. Jesus, the scripture tells us that we can have a clean heart if we confess our sin. He's faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, to forgive and cleanse. And then it says baptize. Repent and be baptized. Baptism, I understand we're going to have one tonight. Baptism is simply obeying the Lord's command to personally identify yourself with the Lord Jesus in His death, burial, and resurrection. If I could put it again in different terms, it simply is obedience. To be baptized is to obey the Lord. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 32, where the disciples are before the Sanhedrin council And they're told not to preach again in the name of Jesus. You remember Peter's famous statement, we must obey God rather than man. And also, he goes on to say in that same verse and passage in chapter 32, and we are witnesses of these things, talking about the Messiah, Jesus. We're witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. It's very clearly a couple of conditions for being filled with the Spirit. Obviously, you got to be saved. Repent. You got to have a clean heart. And also, baptized, there has to be obedience to the command of the Lord. He gives the gift of the Holy Spirit to those that obey. And then if you'll, I don't know if you have your Bible or not, but I do. And so I'm going to jump over to Luke chapter 11. And I want to look at another condition here. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus is responding to his disciples who asked him to teach them to pray, as John taught his disciples. In verse 9, he goes on and he says, "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will you give him a stone? If he ask a fish, will you give him a serpent? If he ask an egg, will you give him a scorpion?" And here's the verse, 13. "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" Very simply in those verses, there is an important condition for the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Simply this, you have to ask. It's not something that happens automatically. But it's not asking for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that's being taught here. It's actually asking for the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You remember when Jesus was about to go back to his Father, he said, "I'm going to ask the Father, and he's going to give you the Holy Spirit." And he was talking about the indwelling, the Spirit coming upon them as it happened in Acts 2 at Pentecost. This is not teaching that we asked Jesus for the Holy Spirit's indwelling. We have that. You ask for the Holy Spirit's fullness. This is a very important part of being filled with the Spirit that I think is often overlooked. He says, ask. And remember how James puts it? Ask and you shall receive. You have not because you ask not. And then one other passage, and then we'll be done. In John chapter 7, and in beginning in verse 37, it says, "In the last day, that great day of the feast," it's actually the Feast of Tabernacles, if you look at the context, "Jesus stood, and he cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." He had not yet ascended. Three more simple yet practical conditions that I think Jesus gives here for believers to experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit in their lives, that overflow of rivers of living water, as he calls it here. And notice them, three of them, real quick. First of all, thirst. He says, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." You know, I have discovered, and I'm sure many of you have also, that God never forces his blessing on any of us. If we are the recipients of God's blessing, it's because we have a genuine desire for what God's offering. And that, I think, is what we have in that word thirst. That we recognize that we need something, that something's missing from my life. I need the fullness of the Holy Spirit. That's where thirst begins. It's that desire. And I understand a little bit about thirst, and perhaps you do even more than me. But thirst is one of those basic desires of the human body that can't be denied. It's one of the strongest desires that we have as human beings. When you're thirsty, you don't care about anything else except quenching your thirst. You're not going to settle for anything else but water for that need of thirst. He also says, secondly, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. Another condition of the Spirit's fullness is not only that genuine desire, that thirst, but also you come. A thirsty person doesn't just walk around and talk about water, but goes to the place where the water is. And Jesus said it, if you're thirsty, you come to me. And so Jesus is the only one that can fill us with the Holy Spirit. In fact, John the Baptizer said, I baptize you with water, but one who is coming, meaning the Messiah, Jesus, when he comes, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And so we thirst and we come to Jesus. And then there's one final condition here in this verse. He says, verse 37, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Now, I think drink is parallel to the word in verse 38, believeth. I think that's the same thing. To drink is to believe. It sounds so simple, drink, but it's so easily forgotten. You see, being filled with the Holy Spirit is not something that happens to us passively. You have to ask for it. You have to drink. You have to believe. You know what to believing is? It's dependence. It's dependent upon what God says. God says, if you will come to me with genuine desire, with genuine thirst, I will spiritually quench that thirst with the fullness of the Holy Spirit, overflow of the Spirit of God in your life. Being filled with the Spirit is not something that is passive. It's not something that happens to you without you knowing it. It's not something that happens automatically in your life. You must thirst, you must come to Jesus, and you must drink of him. In other words, you have to receive within, you receive within your innermost being that which you have actively, personally made a choice concerning. You exercise your will. And he says there will be an overflow then from within your heart that comes, it comes out of your mouth. The overflow comes out of your mouth in worship to God and witness to others. That's the evidence of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. That's the rivers of living water that flow out of you. One of the men that I have really enjoyed reading his sermons, hearing his sermons, and reading his biography of, was a man that's with the Lord now, Dr. Stephen Olford. He was a pastor in New York City many years before I ever got there, originally an Englishman. And Stephen Olford was born of missionary parents. He was born and he was reared in Central Africa with his parents and his brothers and his siblings. And during the dry seasons there in Africa, they often ran out of water. He said on one occasion, the family was with his dad, and they were making a trek out into the wilderness of Africa to reach a tribe they'd never made contact with before. And he said there was no road, there wasn't even a trail, and he said that there was a few native people that accompanied our family on this trip. And he said, we didn't realize it, but we were moving farther and farther away from rivers and from any water source. And eventually, the family ran out of water. And so his father asked the African guides to go exploring and to find some water and bring it back. One day went by, a second day went by, And on the third day, that equatorial sun was just blistering down on them, and they really began to suffer. He said, as a teenage boy, I'll never forget it, he said, my tongue was literally stuck to the side of my cheek, and there was no saliva at all in my mouth. It was all gone. And my eyes were just blistered from the heat. And he said, my younger brother John was just delirious. We were so thirsty. And with death staring them in the face, their father gathered the family together and he said, let's kneel down right now and let's pray. And he said, as best as I can remember, my dad lifted his hand to heaven and he said, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I bow before you. You sent us to this place and I thank you for the translation of the scriptures and the building of churches. But if this is the hour of our ultimate sacrifice, we're ready. But Lord, you're sovereign. Lord, you're mighty. God, you're the God of the impossible, and I cry to you, and I plead with you, Lord, send us rain. Olford said, as God is my witness, in a matter of moments, clouds began to gather, and the sun was shielded, and suddenly there was lightning flashing and a roar of thunder, and a deluge of water dropped down upon them. And he said, we grabbed anything we could and put it out to catch water, canvas, basins, whatever we had handy. And we began to drink. And he said, we drank and we drank and we drank until we couldn't drink anymore. Why? Because they were thirsty. Let me ask you something tonight. Are you thirsty like that for Jesus? Are you thirsty for the fullness of the Lord Jesus in your life? I want to close this evening by praying a very simple prayer, a short prayer that incorporates these things that I've just shared with you briefly. And I want you to listen as I pray. And if it's your prayer too, in your heart, I want you to say amen to the Lord. So let's bow our heads and let's pray. Lord Jesus, I'm thirsty for the fullness of your Holy Spirit. And I present to you my body as a temple, and my members as instruments of righteousness, especially my tongue, which is that member of my body that is so difficult for me and impossible for me to tame. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to breathe on me and to fill me and to let your Holy Spirit flow through my lips in rivers of praise to you and testimony of you. I ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen.